Hello, and welcome back to another edition of NZ Insurance Law Podcast Edition. Just a brief note for New Zealand and Australian lawyers looking to formulate a claim for damages where there is a GST component. Well, the first question you really want to ask is whether it can be included in a claim for damages at all. Usually this arises where a person, be it a natural person or a company or other legal structure, has claimed what is known in jargon as an input credit on a tax return. This means that whatever GST is payable by that person is offset by that amount. Now, in reality, the person has enjoyed the benefit of some GST paid, more or less. So the thinking is that can't usually be included in a claim. However, where it represents an out-of-pocket expense for which no refund has been sought, in fact, nor given, it should generally be claimable. Ordinarily, when you're dealing with a mum and dad type claimant, all payments they make, all relevant payments they make, will be GST inclusive. And in fact, in that case, GST may not warrant separate treatment. Sometimes there may be a contractual entitlement. For example, professional indemnity policies may provide that the insurer will add GST to the payment made to the policyholder if certain criteria are met. And this GST is usually in addition to the monetary policy limit. Now, if GST is being claimed and it's not in a mum and dad type setting, ideally the plaintiff's lawyers will set out the basis on which GST is said to be claimable in the statement of claim or whatever originating document you are commencing your proceeding with. Looking at trial, my view is that factual, that is to say not expert accounting, evidence should generally be sufficient. This evidence should provide the basis on which the judge may then determine the issue in his or her written judgment. In a recent New Zealand case, it looks like GST was raised initially in the proceeding, but not ever substantially developed as an issue in submissions or in evidence or in oral and written submissions during trial. However, in this particular case, after delivering the judgment, the judge permissively, I would suggest, allowed the issue to be dealt with subsequently under the New Zealand equivalent of the slip rule. And for those of you law nerds who want to now go off and read the case, it is Dodds against Southern Response Earthquake Services Limited, 2019, New Zealand High Court, page 2741. That's it for now. More next week. Bye.